Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Hi, everybody. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we talk about a little about food and maybe getting children involved in food. Well, I think one of the fun things that Renee and I have done, typically independently, if she's doing dinner, she'll have Emily, our 9-year-old, helping out. And usually I'm doing breakfast, and she will help me with breakfast. And she just loves to do that. And I think it's getting your youngsters involved can really help shape their habits for the rest of their lives. Jenny Breen has been cooking and baking professionally in the Twin Cities for more than 20 years. She is co-owner of Good Life Catering, passionate advocate for local and sustainable raised foods and getting kids involved in cooking. She also has studied public health nutrition, and she's the author of a really great book. It's called Cooking Up the Good Life, Creative Recipes for the Family Table. And she joins us by phone. Let me see if I can get her up. Jenny, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You talk very poetically, I guess, about the wonders of cooking with seasonal produce.
Mm-hmm.
What is so special about it to you?
Well, I think that we live in a world where we can pretty much get anything we want whenever we want it, which is a really, you know, it's been a wonderful thing, and it's allowed us to taste a lot of really unique things we wouldn't have otherwise. However, what I think eating seasonally really does is it connects us with our environment, it connects us with our community, it connects us directly to where we live, and the flavors and the colors and the textures that are about where we live. And not only that, but the food that we're getting when we eat local food and seasonal food is so incredibly fresh that it really does taste different, and I would argue it tastes better.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with you on that. You see, you're an interesting background. You have a family, a Jewish background, mm-hmm. and then that Scandinavian heritage of Minnesota you grew up in. Is that's had an influence, I guess, on your relationship to food. What do those traditions give you?
Well, that's a great question. I don't get asked that very much, although I do think it's a really important part of my history. Jewish families, I think I can generalize and say, are pretty into food. It's a big part of our cultural traditions, our heritage. Most of the holidays focus around symbolic foods and different kinds of foods. They're also very seasonally focused. And so, for example, this week is the Harvest Festival. It's Sukkot. And everybody is eating, you know, squash and potatoes and things that are really seasonal right now. And so that is really a big part of my tradition, and my family did, you know, observe holidays, and we cooked some of those traditional foods. And being in Minnesota, there's a couple things I would say about that. One is that I happen to love a lot of the foods that grow here, and so we do have wonderful things like squash and potatoes and really delicious seasonal greens and, you know, wild rice. All of those things are really relevant, not necessarily Scandinavian in origin. But also my business partner and the person that I have been operating my catering business and who I own the restaurant with she's 100% Norwegian and has a very strong Norwegian tradition, which is in many ways is very similar in terms of connecting with family around food. And so we really shared that, and it helped me to understand that was not unique to being Jewish. It was very much about just having a cultural tradition of some sort and a family that connected to that.
Jenny Breen, author of Cooking Up the Good Life, our guest today here on the Ideas Network. She's been cooking and baking professionally in the Twin Cities for more than 20 years. Great to have her along. You can join in with your questions or comments. Maybe you have some favorite fall dishes, or maybe you have some questions about some of those fall veggies that you'd like to ask Jenny about. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. That's the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. And we'd love to hear from you. Also, give us an email. Send us an email as well. And we'll, that's at talk@WPR.org. If you've got a question that way, we'll take that as well. And I want to talk about your book a little bit. You know, we're talking about seasonally, and I sense that the book, or believe that the book, is sort of set up on a seasonal basis. Maybe you can talk about how, what you've got in this wonderful cookbook.
Okay. Well, so as you said, I've been cooking and baking for a long time, and have had both a catering business and a restaurant. I also have been teaching classes for many, many years. So much of what's in here is the accumulation of years and years of doing that, of feeding people, you know, publicly as well as my own family. And the book is organized in two ways. It's organized seasonally, and then it's organized, for example, by starters, by small plates, and then salads and sides, and then what we call sustenance,
yeah,
which is more like main dishes. But they're each divided into seasons. So essentially, if, you know, if it's fall, you can kind of go to the fall section of those categories and find stuff that has what you might find in the farmer's market or in the grocery store at this time of year. Excuse me. So, and, you know, it's not 100% vegetarian, but vegetarian is the primary style of cooking that I do, and that's, you know, I have been a vegetarian for a long time. I'm not anymore, but I do feel that really emphasizing plants and whole grains and other protein sources is a really wonderful way to get a really well-rounded diet and to incorporate a lot of those really wonderful seasonal foods and colors and nutrients that we really need to feel good and eat well.
Yeah. Well, Judith went to the cookbook and fixed a couple of things, and she and her husband had some last night, I think, and then she brought in some for me today, and it was delicious. We had a sweet almond curry sauce,
mm-hmm,
that she used under, let's see, we had some potatoes, small potatoes, and a little chicken in there, and another vegetable or two.
Mm-hmm.
Which was wonderful. And then she did Brussels sprouts with honey horseradish sauce. And that, I really, really like that.
Well, that's great. And that's really perfectly seasonal right now as well.
Yeah, it's perfect. The Brussels sprouts and then what else was it? Sweet potatoes were in there.
Mm-hmm.
Chopped up and leeks.
Oh, that sounds great.
Oh. Yeah, I'm telling you, it was delicious. And normally, I don't get to eat until after my radio show, so I'm eating it usually at around 1 o'clock. So it was a real treat to have a lunch at 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah, you should have cookbook authors on more often.
I need to do that. I definitely need to do that.
Yeah. So that what you're talking about, I mean, those are really great examples. The recipes, a lot of what I offer is just really interesting condiments and sauces to make whatever you're making just more yummy. So you can take something like a curry almond sauce or the honey horseradish sauce, and then you can adapt it and play around with it and put it on your meat, or you can put it on whatever your vegetables are. And so there's a lot of just really simple things that you can do that you can then, that just really expand your vocabulary or your opportunity to prepare different dishes.
Yeah, you know, my wife's really good at that. I'm not as good at that as she is. She'll tinker a lot, and you've been experimenting with certainly with dishes and recipes and tinkering them, making them a little different every time. It seems like do you hope using that people using Cooking Up a Good Life will be able to do the same thing.
I absolutely encourage playing around and substituting and adapting these recipes to make them work for you. I mean, what I'm interested in doing is giving people ideas and inspiring them, but also just some basic tools so that they can then just look at what they have and come up with something that is interesting and delicious and healthy.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's even though I've had something to eat, it's still making me salivate here a little bit as we talk, and I'm certainly enjoying this conversation that we're having today with Jenny Breen, who is the author of Cooking Up the Good Life. And Now, we need to take a few minutes to ask for your support of the programs that you enjoy here on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's listener-supported, and we're in our fall membership drive. Judith Sears Poisson, one of the great chefs here, one of the great cooks at Wisconsin Public Radio.
That's the kind of intro I like.
Joining us today, and she is going to be asking along with me to go to WPR.org for you. Do that. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now to make a gift in support of the programs you count on. And Judith, another goal for this hour.
Yes, and just to let people know, last hour the goal was 40 pledges for the Kathleen Dunn Show, and they heard from 122 people.
That's wonderful.
So thank you so much. That's a wonderful show of support. During this program, we have a goal of 65 pledges. And these goals are really important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussions going strong on Wisconsin Public Radio. Take a moment right now and give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Some of our regular guests on this program, Peter Green, for example, who's just on, helps us with our computers. Phil Pelletieri answers your questions about insects. Melinda Myers, a nationally known gardening expert.
And she'll be on this Friday.
Yes.
You get great information you can use from these guests and so many others on the program. It's a real pleasure to have them on. We love bringing them to you, but it's your contribution that makes it possible. So pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, you give to WPR to support the programs, and as an added incentive, we have something special for you. You can get the book, Cooking Up the Good Life, when you give $120 or more. So ask for it right now when you call to make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Maybe you find that WPR is your daily companion. We're on the air 24 hours a day, whether you're at home or at the office, in the car, walking, whether you're concentrating or just relaxing.
And like a good companion, you count on us for accurate news, for great music, intelligent talk. Now we're counting on you to be our companion and make a donation. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This is David Green from NPR News. When you tune in to Wisconsin Public Radio, you hear quality radio. And you can rely on WPR to be here for you day after day. As a public radio station, WPR relies on you to support the programs you enjoy. And a great way to give your support is by becoming a sustainer. Choose a monthly amount that works for you and set up an ongoing donation. WPR gets reliable funding and you get reliable programs. It's really a win-win. Please become a sustainer now. Here's how.
You can pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry here with Judith. We're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe your gift is $50, or maybe it's $100, or $500. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552.
The quality you hear in our programs reflects a big investment. NPR News, the Associated Press, sophisticated broadcast equipment all cost money.
Your financial support helps pay the bills that come with a quality program and quality public radio that you really rely on. So help keep it coming. Make your donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And remember, you can get the Cooking Up the Good Life cookbook for your pledge of $120 or more. And I can tell you, those two recipes I made were great, and there are so many more I want to try. So you're going to want to try them too.
Absolutely. Your gift right now, it's a very powerful gesture, actually. It means you're willing to stand up and be counted as the next member of our Wisconsin Public Radio community. New members are really important to us. Without you, we'd become a smaller and smaller organization each year.
And you care enough to listen. Now, please care enough to support your source for meaningful radio. Make your gift. It's easy to do and really satisfying, too, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving takes just a couple of minutes of your time. Tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay. And you could consider using your credit card. It saves time, it saves postage and paper, and puts your money to work right away. No matter how you choose to give or how much, take those 2 minutes right now at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 62 pledges in about the next 70 minutes or so. Really doable, but only if you help us make that goal. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And ask for Cooking Up the Good Life with your pledge of $120 or more. Pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And like Larry said, when you make your pledge, consider becoming a sustainer. Your sustaining membership automatically renews each year, and it breaks your pledge into affordable monthly installments. It's easy to set up, and it's a great way to make a lasting, constant impact. Give now. You choose the giving method that works for you and the amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Kellen from Monona commented that and says, I'm grateful to have the gem of WPR on the radio dial for timely program topics, for balanced news, and excellent hosts.
And I think Larry is one of those gems and certainly one of those excellent hosts. So you can donate now. Support the program that you're listening to right now and all the others you enjoy. Go to WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552. That's 888-202-2552.
Or just go online, WPR.org. Judith, thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks to those of you who have contributed. If you haven't, now's a good time to do it. As we talk with our guest today, Jenny Breen, has been cooking and baking professionally for more than 20 years, co-owner of Good Life Catering, and a passionate advocate for local and sustainably raised foods. Talking with Jenny Breen today about cooking, about creative recipes for the family table. That's part of the title of her book, Cooking Up the Good Life, Creative Recipes for the Family Table. You may have some questions about the seasonal recipes. Maybe you've got a great recipe of your own you want to share. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or on my Facebook page, you can go there and post at The Larry Mueller Show. And, of course, we would love to hear from you. And Judith had made those Brussels sprouts with honey horseradish sauce. And frankly, Jenny, that was my favorite of the two. I really enjoyed those.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the honey horseradish sauce, I guess I'd never put the two together.
Right. Well, you know, I teach a lot of cooking, and one of the things I really like to help people understand is there are sort of some basic formulas. Most recipes involve a couple things, a couple ingredients that sort of balance each other out. And usually it will be sort of like a sweet and a savory or an acid and a fat. So you've got your basic, for example, your basic vinaigrette, which is going to be olive oil and some sort of vinegar.
Yep.
Usually you throw mustard or honey in, which does a little bit to emulsify those things. And it balances a little flavor too. And so once, if you kind of think about that, and you don't have to get too scientific with these recipes, but if you start to understand how to sort of work with those couple flavors and those formulas, you get to do a lot of really creative things. So honey and horseradish is that same kind of, you've got spice and then you've got sweet, and there's also a little bit of acid sweet balance, and it's, you know, the possibilities really are endless.
Yeah, and another thing, actually it was not difficult to put that together, Judith said. It was fairly easy to put together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking in terms of getting children involved,
right,
in preparing a recipe like that, I think is probably could easily be done. And I know you feel it's important to get kids in the kitchen.
Yes, I do. I think it's critical for a number of reasons. Number one, I think we all realize that we have some health issues in our society right now. We have a huge variety of diet-related illnesses that are affecting kids younger and younger all the time. We have an obesity problem. We have diabetes and high blood pressure and things like that that are entirely manageable or preventable with a good diet. And I believe that starts at home. And I think one of the things that's happened over the last generation is that people have lost their ability to cook. They've lost they've lost that tradition in their homes and in their families for a variety of reasons, because people are busy and people are working, because we have television, because we have fast food, because there are many communities that don't have fresh food easily available, for all of those reasons. And our children are now suffering for that. And it's such an incredibly rich thing to share as a family, that preparing, you know, the joy of cooking and eating together can really be a family tradition, something that you share. It can have a cultural component. Kids can learn about their own family traditions or other cultural traditions. They can learn how to do some really important basic cooking skills, cutting and sautéing and boiling and blanching and, you know, mixing. All of those things are very basic and will take them a long way in terms of feeding themselves. And they'll start to really have an understanding of eating well and eating healthy food. And I believe that they will be more invested in eating well if they have something to do with preparing the food.
And, you know, as busy as it gets, I know we sometimes go home and then we have to turn right around and go to, you know, practically right around and go to soccer practice or basketball practice or a meeting at school or what. Mm-hmm. There's always something. And having kids in the kitchen can slow down the process, frankly.
That's true. You're right about that. And so,
how do you overcome that?
Well, you know, we have to also be realistic. I mean, one of the first things I say when I do a demonstration or I teach a class is, no, my children do not eat everything in this cookbook. You know, don't expect that because your kids aren't eating everything you make for them that you're failing, number one. But you also can't, so it's not an all or nothing kind of thing. So you can't cook with your kids every single night. That's true for all of us. I don't have 3 hours every day to cook with my kids either, and it doesn't take that. But there are a couple things I would say. Obviously, take advantage of it when you can, you know.
For us, it's weekends work better.
So weekends are great, and that's a great time to really set yourself up for the week, too. So, for example, I'll cook a big pot of beans or a big pot of rice, and then I'll have that for a variety of meals throughout the week so that I don't have to come home every day and start from scratch. So I already, if I want to make a stir fry, I've already got the rice cooked. Well, that knocks 50 minutes off of what I had to do, or, you know, 45 minutes of cooking time. So I can just get those vegetables cut up and stir fried pretty quick. If you make a sauce, make a big jar of it, and then you have it in the refrigerator for the next 2 weeks. And you can use it, you know, with your potatoes and your chicken one night, and the next night put it on noodles. So that's another kind of way that you can plan ahead, and you can do that with your kids, and you can get them involved in the decision-making. What are we going to prep this week so we'll have it on hand? You know, you maybe have to do school lunches, too, and so you have to think about those things. All of that can involve your kids. And I know that this is true in my family, but when my kids have an opinion, first of all, I like that my kids have an opinion about what they're eating.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they tell me what they want, they're happier because they're getting what they want, and I'm happier because they're eating what I give them. So, you know, so it's part of it's just about communicating and involving them as much as possible. It doesn't always have to be actually physically cooking, although that's crucial. But there's, you know, the decision-making, there's shopping, there's knowing how to prep, all of those things.
Yep, absolutely. Jim in Galena, Illinois has a question for you. By the way, you can join in, too, if you have a question for our guest today, Jenny Breen. She is the author of Cooking Up the Good Life, Creative Recipes for the Family Table. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. And Jim in Galena, Illinois, it's your turn. Hi, Jim.
Hello there. Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I'm really enjoying the theme. I work with kids in a television program that's been on for 7 years down here in out of Dubuque, Iowa. Oh. And so I'm always delighted when I hear somebody else doing something with kids, and particularly drawing them into the idea of seasonal ingredients, local ingredients, stuff that's around, and also being intelligent and varied in what they're offering. And this is just a slight moment of share one's pain that I'm going to put out here, but then I'll get to the point. The point is that here, there is not a news story. There is not a feature in the newspaper or any of the local media about incorporating kids in the kitchen that is not about cookies, muffins, white, refined, highly sweetened foods, period. There's never anything other than that. And the amount of refined sweets that are consumed in this particular neck of the Midwest is breathtaking. And it's done very blandly. People don't even have any idea that they're eating sugar with every single thing that they're eating all day long. It's not the same as it was 30 years ago. You know, people would have sweets. Mom would bake cookies, maybe, and there was a lot of processed foods even then. But the sheer magnitude of increase of sweet stuff in all of the food from breakfast through dinner through all of the snacks is astonishing. I think our area actually leads the Midwest in lifestyle and diet-based diseases. Anyway, my point is, I'm wondering how the author deals with that, or maybe where she is, she doesn't see it as much. It could be maybe it's more of a local thing. But I'm perceiving that it's sort of enculturated in the nation, as in the food culture. But what are you seeing as far as the kids themselves, families, you know, how they kind of react to it, and how much do you personally have to ramp up sweetness in dishes, or can you? I made it a mandate that unless we're doing a dessert, which we'd go nuts, I'd make killer creme brulee with, you know, no substitutions, nothing, you know, and to show up, complete with blowtorch, you know, to caramelize it, which I think we had a little scroll at the bottom of the screen saying, don't do this at home, don't do it without your parents. But it's not like a real stiff, you know, stick-in-the-mud attitude about no sweets, no sugar at all. I'm merely saying that the balance has swung so far that people don't even know what normal is anymore.
Well, I mean, you're totally right, which is, you know, a part of why I got, why I went back and studied public health and nutrition, for two reasons, because I think you're right. We are kind of out of control culturally in terms of what we're consuming, what's being produced and marketed and promoted. So, I mean, you have to also acknowledge that kids they're at a disadvantage because they're targets and they're getting marketed to all day long about all this crap, if I may say so, and, you know, it's readily available where cooking is something you have to be more intentional about. So it is a sort of an uphill climb in some ways. And the other thing that I think, and I say this with great respect for public health and everything that we're doing, but public health professionals have not always been that great at giving people actual tools to address some of these challenges. They talk a lot about what people should eat and what people should know and the nutrients that are important for us to consume. But there's not a lot of practical, like, hey, let's get in the kitchen and figure out what that means. You know, what does it mean to get a bunch of vitamins and minerals in our lunch today? And so I'm really, really all about hands-on with kids especially, but families too. I think, where did you say you were in Iowa?
Oh, Dubuque, Iowa is where the television show is located. We borrow a kitchen in a Hy-Vee store. They have a professional kitchen they put in for the show. And we get the kids from all the junior high schools, which I'm very glad about, but I wish we could start earlier, because then by then they're taste buds and they're pretty much perverted by the culture, so that they only like, you know, the sweet, the blue box of mac and cheese, you know, all these highly, highly salted, highly seasoned flavors are kind of their taste buds into the velocitized. So.
That's true. So that's one point, and there's a new sort of awareness around getting to kids earlier, and I'm actually working with some child care centers around the Midwestern area to help them develop some more, like, using real foods, farm-to-school kinds of things, but even for younger kids, because there are more and more studies showing that, you know, the sooner you get kids connected to eating fresh foods and produce, then you're right, their taste buds will sort of be oriented. But doing a hands-on thing, getting, you know, one of the interesting things that I think is really effective with young people and your age group especially, is talking a little bit about the justice issues around this. And there's some economic pieces to this, but also just the fact that they're really being taken advantage of and not actually being given choices. And they think that they're making choices by going and choosing between Doritos and Lay's or something. But really, the food companies are really sort of controlling what everybody eats and not giving them a chance to sort of get in touch with their own communities and what's available and what they like and what kind of how they want to take care of themselves. And that's kind of an interesting way to talk about it with kids, because then they start thinking, hey, you know, that's true. Mm-hmm. I haven't really thought about that. And you know, if you do that along with exposing them to fresh foods and what's available and preparing them, I think that's an opportunity for a lot of growth and a lot of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
absolutely,
not to mention that they're invested, again, if they're cooking, and especially if they're feeding other people, they're really invested in that food being good and wanting to eat it themselves.
Absolutely. Jenny Breen, our guest today, author of Cooking Up the Good Life, Creative Recipes for the Family Table. This is Wisconsin Public Radio's Fall Membership Drive. I'm Larry Mueller with Judith Sears-Poisson, and here to ask you to invest 3 minutes of your time in your own future. Our goal is to make sure that all of the programs you value, including this one, are here on Wisconsin Public Radio when you want them. A contribution of any amount will do just that. So make your gift now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Help pay for the programs you depend on, like, oh, I don't know, maybe the Larry Mueller Show.
Maybe.
We're looking for 52 more pledges in about the next 45 minutes. So make your pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When it comes to the Ideas Network, the expression, talk is cheap, doesn't hold true here. First of all, on the Ideas Network, you get very high-quality conversations.
And second, these great conversations aren't free. It takes a lot of resources to get all of these great discussions on the air.
And that's where you come in. You enjoy this high-quality talk. You support it. Make your contribution at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You can choose Cooking Up the Good Life as your thank you gift for your pledge of $120 or more. Your pledge will help support the programs, and you'll get this great cookbook perfect for fall cooking. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We know that physical exercise is an important part of staying healthy. So is mental exercise, so getting your daily mental workout is easy when you listen to us here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
It's really true. Listening to WPR keeps your brain in great shape. Your gift of any amount helps keep you and WPR healthy. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I'm a student at Carthage College. I'm probably not your typical listener. I'm, you know, in my 30s, and I have children at home. But I started listening to public radio a couple years back, and I listen every day, and on weekends, I tend to tune that in rather than turn the TV on, and I just am really pleased to hear the opinions of my peers, older generations and younger generations, and it's just really a nice forum for discussion.
You can go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Let me give that again. 888-202-2552 and make your pledge of support. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your support of the WPR programs you count on. And thanks in advance for your gift, by the way. It might, whether it's $50, $100, $500, or whatever the amount that's right for you at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
As a Wisconsin Public Radio listener, you're part of a community of people who share your curiosity about the world. The WPR community also keeps this station on the air with their financial contributions.
This model of relying on voluntary support, kind of unusual, I think, but it has some good advantages. It means that if one person can't give this time or can't give much, maybe somebody else can step in to help.
And we do understand that not everyone can give, and we understand that if you can't afford to contribute, you can do it now and pay a little bit for those other folks. You'll make a positive contribution to your own life and to your community. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Bet you've probably already heard about our sustaining membership program. About 8,000 of your fellow listeners are proud sustaining members. They're modest heroes who provide a steady, a reliable stream of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio.
And you can join their ranks by choosing a monthly giving amount, say $10 a month or $15, and setting it up on an ongoing basis. The amount you choose comes from your credit card or bank account, and it's the best way to support the station you rely on. So become a sustainer right now. You can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And giving couldn't be any easier. We just need your name, your contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay it.
Save time and money. Use a credit card if you can. Or better yet, start those automatic sustaining donations from your bank account. You choose how to give and how much to give, and then you do it. It's that simple. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for 49 more pledges in the next 45 minutes or so. Help us make our goal at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And I want to remind you, you can ask for Cooking Up the Good Life with your pledge of $120 or more. Great cookbook, perfect for these chilly fall evenings when you want something a little comforting on the table. Pledge now to get that book at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you make your pledge, consider becoming a sustainer, or just remind you of that. Your sustaining membership automatically renews every year, breaks our pledge into affordable monthly installments, easy to set up. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Tom and Annie from Eau Claire said, "We are inspired by all the information and entertainment we enjoy from Wisconsin Public Radio day after day. Thank you to Larry Mueller, Kathleen Dunn, and all the other wise, funny, and enthusiastic broadcasters." I think that really sums it up. And we hope that you will be a wise, funny, and enthusiastic pledger right now.
Please donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Talking today with Jenny Breen, a chef who's been cooking and baking professionally in the Minneapolis Twin Cities area for more than 20 years. She has a new book out. It's called Cooking Up the Good Life, Creative Recipes for the Family Table. And yours, by the way, with a contribution of $120 or more. As we visit with her, it's a whole lot of fun. And I hope you'll join in with your questions. You have question about cooking this time of year, or maybe you've got a recipe that you'd like to even bring up and talk about a bit, give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. And Wanda in Tomahawk's been waiting a while, so I want to give her a chance. Wanda, hi, thank you for joining us.
Hi. Yes, I had a quick question for her. I had made some venison stuffed peppers for my husband. It's his favorite. But I always have extra of the rice, the venison hamburger, and tomato, the base of the stuffed pepper. I got some zucchinis. I was just curious. Normally I would make stuffed pepper soup or something out of the leftovers, but I have some zucchini, and I was wondering if I could stuff those, and what would you suggest for me to put in them?
What do you think, Jenny?
Absolutely, you can stuff them. But it sounds like you already have stuffing. Do you have stuffing left over for the peppers?
Right.
Yeah, I think that sounds like it would work great with the zucchini.
Would you do it like regular, like I would do the peppers, or would you suggest using something else? Or, not something else, but add something to it? Or, I don't know. I don't work with zucchini a whole lot.
Well, the zucchini, like the pepper, is going to just sort of be it's going to be the base. Zucchini doesn't have quite as much flavor, I don't think, as peppers. So if you like that pepper flavor, maybe throw some into your stuffing mix. Or
okay.
I always like to put, a little cheese or a little crushed nuts or something in stuffing just to give it some texture.
Oh, okay. I have some pine nuts. Would that be?
That'd be good.
Toast them up a little bit first, maybe, and then mix them in.
Sure.
I know Judith likes to stuff zucchini with goat cheeses and chopped mint.
I might have. How about feta?
Hey,
feta, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Thank
Let
you.
Us know
All
how
right.
it is.
Yeah, send a couple over, Wanda. Thanks very much for calling. I appreciate your call. By the way, you can join in, too, if you have a question or comment or something to share. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. We'd love to hear from you. We had an email from Brad who wondered, I was just wondering if you could please tell me, is it possible to can pumpkin or squash?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Yes, absolutely. You can can essentially anything. The thing with, if you're talking about like a hot water canning, are you still hearing me? I got a little buzzing on this.
Yeah, we're getting a little buzzing there. Yeah, no, you're fine now.
The thing with the hot water canning is you just want to get a really good resource, and your local extension people are going to have the best information about this. but make sure that you have the correct balance of your base and your acid when you're canning, because that's really when you run into sort of risks around food poisoning. So just get a really good recipe, and there's lots out there. Your local extension website will probably have a link to their food preservation information. Otherwise, I'm sure you could Google it, although I'd be careful. I think extension's really the best resource for that. But absolutely, you could do it as a soup. You could just do it like you would just a puree or a mash. So another super, super easy way to preserve foods, and with squash, this is what I usually do, is you can cook it up and then just put it into a Ziploc bag and stick it in your freezer. And then you have it, you know, just as you would if it was in a jar, but it's there and it's frozen until you need it. It's pretty easy to thaw. So that's an easy way to preserve it, too.
Yeah, and that's a very safe way to do it.
Very safe, right. You don't have to worry about some of those other issues that you do with hot water canning.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some tasks that, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about the kids for just a minute.
Okay.
And I have to mention that I really like the fact that you've got a little sidebar called the Family Kitchen for many or most of your recipes, which
right.
tells how to get kids involved in just a little square along with the recipe.
Right. Right. So, you know, I wanted to do something. I do so much work with kids and with families, and I'm such a proponent of getting kids in the kitchen that it seemed a little strange to put a cookbook together without somehow incorporating that. And when I suggested it to the editor, they really loved that idea, because there aren't a lot of cookbooks out there that have quote-unquote more grown-up food, and you know, I don't totally agree that it's grown-up food, but a lot of people don't think about feeding lots of vegetables and whole grains and things to kids. They don't think kids are going to like them. And so it just made sense to kind of present how easy it is, or at least some ideas, because a lot of people will just say to me, well, I don't really know how to get my kids involved, or it's so messy, or it's so, you know, it's harder. And, you know, the truth is you have to sort of let go of your need to have a super neat kitchen if you're going to get your kids involved, and that's okay. You can always clean up. And really, it's not that messy. The other thing I know that can be hard for people is just sort of giving up a little control and just realizing that, you know, maybe everything's not going to be cut exactly the way you would cut it,
yeah.
or, you know, mixed exactly the way you would mix it. But the fact that they're doing it and they're involved and they're paying attention and they know what's going into the meal is so important. So it's as simple as, you know, anything from having kids tear the cilantro leaves off or cutting them with the scissors to having them cut soft foods, you know, carrots, potatoes, anything like that. Or sometimes it's even just running the food processor. You know, it's just a way to get them engaged in that part of the, you know, the whole food cycle. And we all eat. So that means somebody has to actually prepare the food and get it to the table. So it's got to happen, and they might as well participate.
They might just as well. You know, in a way, it kind of reminds me of going fishing with kids.
Uh-huh.
The first time I ever did that, I expected I was going to be fishing a lot myself.
Yeah.
And that is not how it works. I mean, you have to go with a whole different mindset and say, okay, I'm here to help my child or children learn how to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be baiting the hooks, and I'm, you know, straightening out the lines and all those things. And it's kind of the same way in the kitchen, I guess.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. I mean, it is a different thing. I mean, for me, cooking can be really meditative and really relaxing and stuff. So it is different than that. It involves patience, and it involves maybe things taking a little more time, or, you know, coming out a little differently than they might have. But I think the rewards are so worth it. That, you know, you have to just sort of incorporate that into the whole. It's part of the whole thing. And, you know, when you think about how many, I can't tell you, certainly in my community, so many of the chefs that I know have stories about their grandparents or their parents and the cooking they did in the kitchen, or even just watching and learning from watching and asking questions.
Yeah.
It really does, you know, it stays with you.
That absolutely does. It does stay with you. And Jenny Breen, as a matter of fact, will be staying with us up until about 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network. But we're going to take a look at our pledge drive right now. I'm wondering, what's this program worth to you? What's this program plus Chapter a Day plus Prairie Home Companion worth to you? Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive, where we ask you to place a value on all of the WPR listening you do throughout the year, and then make a financial contribution in return. You can make your gift right now, and do it right now. Make your gift any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And Judith, I wish we had a few more contributions here.
I do, too. We are looking for 40 more pledges in the next 35 minutes or so. Definitely doable, but we need you to make that pledge right now. And your pledge right now does help keep this program going strong. Make your contribution, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you found some yourself thinking about something in a new way after you've heard one of our shows. I think a couple of our callers today are looking at different ways to prepare their food. That's kind of the beauty of the Ideas Network. You hear multiple points of view. You value what you hear on the Ideas Network. Now, pledge your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge, every single one is appreciated, and every pledge helps pay for the programs you love on WPR. Consider asking for Cooking Up the Good Life as your thank you gift. You'll be really happy if you do. You can do that when you give $120 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Lots of people listen to WPR while driving, and we hear from folks who are glad to know the weather forecast around the state as they set out for a long trip. We hear from people who are sorry to reach their destinations because they were engrossed in the day's news or a discussion, or they were in the middle of a nice piece of music.
If you've ever sat in your car to hear the end of something, you've experienced what we call a driveway moment. What was your last driveway moment? Chances are it wasn't too long ago if you're a regular listener. Support your source of great in-car and out-of-car companionship at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. If you're driving right now, though, please pull over before you make that pledge.
I have many favorites. I like the music for casual listening, but when I want to pay attention, when I want to do intentional listening, then I like anything that Larry Mueller does. I do like Chapter a Day. In fact, I usually try to catch that twice, both early in the day and late at night. I like Saturday morning, Classics by Request, and I love the folk music program on Sunday evening. I like all the NPR offerings, especially Prairie Home Companion. And All Things Considered, I listen all the time. I'm Lorraine Henning from Eau Claire, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for intellectual stimulation.
And we hope you will make your donation right now in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry here with Judith, and we're asking for your gift of, well, whatever amount to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Whether you pledge $50 or $120 or $500, $1,000. We've had some $1,000 pledges, too. Anything else, above, below, in between, we appreciate and count on your gift.
And as a consumer, we know you look for reliability and value in the products that you purchase. Those attributes hold true for the service you get on WPR. We're reliable. We've been here for decades, and there's no end in sight.
And I think we are a great value.
I think so, too.
Yeah, you can turn on the radio any hour of the day or night, hear something interesting, learn something new, and you get to decide how much you pay. So invest in this great service now. Choose the amount you want to give and then call 888-202-2552 or even better yet, go online to WPR.org.
And if you choose to give $120 or more, remember you can get the Cooking Up the Good Life cookbook. It's a really great cookbook. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Well, you can turn on the radio every day seemingly for free and enjoy great music and in-depth conversation for hours on end. And for a lot of people, that's where the relationship ends.
But for a very special group of people, the relationship changes over time. They become attached, and then they give us money. They willingly pay for something that many people do get for free. Those are very special people. We call them members. Become a member today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and we'll be happy to welcome you to the club.
Absolutely. Giving to WPR is easy. All it takes is a gift of a dollar or two a week, a few minutes of your time.
A dollar or two a week might not sound like much, but it adds up to about $50 or $100 for the year. And all year long, you'll enjoy this program and all of the WPR programs you count on. So make your contribution, no time like the present, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and give as generously as you can.
We're looking for 39 more pledges in the next 32 minutes or so. Help us make our goal at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Larry and I really like to make our goals, so we hope you'll help us get there. And don't forget, ask for the Cooking Up the Good Life cookbook with your pledge of $120 or more. You're really going to enjoy it. Pledge now. You're going to enjoy that, too, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Tell you what, you're going to love that honey mustard, honey horseradish sauce. I love it. I know you're going to love it, too. And you can get that recipe pretty quickly by making a pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Donate right now.
That's 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. Thank you.
Cooking can be a real joy when you have the time to browse through a cookbook, see what looks good, you gather the ingredients, and then have some fun cooking it up. Lots of times we're rushing to get a dinner on the table after work or before the kids and adults get caught up in other activities. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Jenny Breen wrote this book, Cooking Up the Good Life, Creative Recipes for the Family Table. Not only does she share great recipes using seasonal produce, but she also has tips for involving kids in the kitchen. How did you learn to cook? Have you been able to teach your kids in your life? Join in with your questions or comments or maybe a favorite recipe or maybe a question about a recipe at 1-800-642-1234. Hope you'll visit our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Click like while you're there and we will send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. We'll be back right after the news. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, having a lot of fun today talking with Jenny Breen, who's been cooking and baking professionally in the Twin Cities for more than 20 years, co-owner of Good Life Catering, a passionate advocate for local and sustainably raised foods. She's also studied public health, nutrition, and is the author of Cooking Up the Good Life, Creative Recipes for the Family Table. And I'm telling you, it is a wonderful cookbook, and you are going to enjoy looking at it when you get a copy. And you get a copy, of course, by donating $120 or more during this pledge drive, during this next half hour. And really looking forward to talking to some of our listeners. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question or a comment. Oh, by the way, Judith and I and Brandy, who is our in-house kind of producer here, have our picture up on our Facebook page. So the three of us, arms locked or whatever, in solidarity here to raise money. And if you want to know what Brandy and Judith and I all look like, you can go to that Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We have some callers online. Let's see, Carol. We got Carol from Appleton. Carol, hi. Okay. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for calling.
I have a specific question about baking, and this is from an Alice Medrick recipe for chestnut chocolate torte. I managed to get myself get hold of unsweetened chestnut puree. The recipe calls for sweetened chestnut puree. How can I substitute unsweetened for sweetened?
Huh, that's a good question.
I had to go to New York to get the puree. It's just not available around Appleton.
Oh, Jenny, what do you think? Jenny, are we there? Hold on a second. Oh, hold on a second. Now, oh, that was my. Now I'm hearing you, Jenny.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, sure. So can you tell me a little bit more about what's in the recipe?
Well, it's a standard torte by Alice Medrick, and it has bittersweet chocolate, butter, eggs, sweetened chestnut puree, vanilla, flour, cream of tartar, granulated sugar, and confection sugar for the top, and served with creme fraiche.
And how much chestnut puree is in it?
1 cup.
So I would say you could add a little bit of sugar or a little bit of other sweetener like maple syrup, but I don't think you're going to need a lot because I can't imagine that the sweetened chestnut puree is extremely sweetened. You know,
Not to substitute. She says, do not substitute unsweetened.
And she says that.
That's why I'm so...
Why would she say that?
Interesting.
Anyway.
I mean, you can try it. I mean, she's protecting herself by saying don't substitute unsweetened. So if it fails, of course, she can't be blamed. But I would say try another tablespoon or two of sugar at the most.
All right, I will taste.
I can't imagine it's going to be that, that different.
All right, I will try it, and we'll see what happens, and people will eat it anyway.
Yeah, I can't imagine it'll be bad. It sounds delicious. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Carol. Thanks for calling. You can join in, too, by the way. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 with your question or comment. Love to hear what you're cooking these days, or if you have a question, just call 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. And speaking of emails, one from Jane. Thanks for this great program. I learned cooking from 4-H, my mother and aunt. And a special shout out to 4-H. I've never liked processed foods or using cake mixes. Always prefer cooking from scratch and especially like making bread. I kind of cheat on the bread since I use the bread maker for the dough, but I always bake it in the oven. Italian bread is especially easy and good to make that way. I've also had wonderful recipes for bread with whole grains.
Excellent. Well, let's see, just a few things. The 4-H comment is really great, and that is something, again, that I think we have lost a lot of our, you know, we had our home economics classes and our 4-H clubs and future farmers and all of those ways of getting kids connected to really basic life skills. And I'm actually teaching a class at the University of Minnesota right now in the food science lab. It's cooking. It's a cooking class from a food systems perspective, so it's got more of a sort of large view component to it. But what's amazing to me is that there's no food in the food science lab. And we're, you know, I'm having to really supply everything that you would normally think would be in a university college of food and agriculture because we don't teach cooking anymore.
Yeah.
So I think that is, it's great that there was a generation that really did grow up learning those things, especially when they're practical, like bread baking and, you know, cooking from scratch.
I'm thinking back to my own 4-H days. Of when I was pretty young and early on in 4-H, I took some chocolate chip cookies to the Dane County Fair and got a blue ribbon.
All right. Well,
with help from my mother, although she said, no, you got to do this yourself. It's your 4-H project.
Yeah.
But she gave me, I know I got plenty of guidance along the way.
But that's great. I mean, and the fact that you even had the awareness to do something like that, I think most of the kids, especially if they're growing up in the city, but most kids these days are just not connected to cooking as or baking as anything that they would spend their time doing, really.
Yeah, and actually our emailer says, let's see, Jane, our emailer, says, right now I'm making soup with leftover pork loin roast, onions, potatoes, summer squash, and herbs.
Oh, that sounds great. See, and another thing that I would say, despite having written a cookbook and teaching a lot of classes, is that cooking is really something everybody can do. And obviously, everybody who's called in has given a great example of what they already know about cooking or baking. And so part of what I consider my job is just sort of reminding people that it's fun and and to kind of get re-engaged with all the fantastic ingredients we have to work with.
Yeah. You know, I agree. And email from Kate, by the way. This is on something we talked about earlier. And you would recommend freezing squash or pumpkin butters. Kate is a volunteer master food preserver through UW Extension. She says, we were told during our training that it's not recommended to can mashed squash or pumpkin butters, since there hasn't been enough research on the safety of it.
Okay.
So they currently recommend, as you said, freeze your pumpkin butters and freeze your squash.
Right. Well, that's good. Thank you for that. Because, as I said, you know, the with the low acid foods, there's just a lot more sort of unknowns with what you're doing. So freezing is really easy and straightforward.
Absolutely. And June in Washburn, we turn to you now. Hi, June. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for the program. My question concerns using maple syrup in place of sugar. Now, this is real maple syrup, not the stuff you buy in the, you know, the log cabin stuff. How do you go about substituting the real maple syrup for some of the sugar or all of the sugar if you can?
That's a great question, because you're talking to somebody who uses, I buy maple syrup by the gallon because I use so much of it. And I do substitute it almost exclusively in all my baking. And it actually, in my cookbook, you'll see almost all the baking recipes use maple syrup as a sweetener. Really, it's just a question of a little bit more liquid that it adds. But you can balance some of that out, because the intensity and the sweetness are so strong that you don't have to use as much. So I would say to 1 cup of sugar, you're talking about maybe 3/4 cup of maple. And then just keep in mind that liquid has to be compensated for somewhere. So you might also end up adding another maybe 1/4 cup of dry of flour or ingredients just to balance. So those two things. A 1/4 cup less of the maple, and then 1/4 cup more of dry to compensate.
Okay, I wondered how much, because I figure sometimes it might be too runny.
Right, and so with some things it's less of an issue, you know, with things that are more liquidy, like cake or muffin batter, it's less of an issue. With things like cookies or brownies that are a little more firm, you have to just compensate with flour a little bit.
So it wouldn't destroy the flavor or texture of the product to put a little more flour in it then?
It shouldn't. I mean, because maple syrup has so much more flavor, you're going to get a lot for that syrup that you're substituting for the sugar, and so the flour won't be able to take that away.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling, June. Margie in Franklin, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. I have a comment and then a question, if you have time for both. But my comment, I want to tell you that I have 4 kids, and they're all growing now, and they all experienced interest in cooking. But my third child, Jonathan, really wanted to cook. And by the time he was in sixth grade and he had one of his guy friends over from school, they wanted to cook supper together. And I took them to the grocery and told them they could pick out anything that they wanted to fix. They decided on Cornish hens. And I said, well, okay. And we brought them home and unpackaged them and put them in the microwave to thaw them. And I had them at the kitchen sink and explained how they had to get the giblets out and things. And so they were rinsing them out and trying to get it. And then it ended up they had their whole hand inside of them. And they had a fist fight at the kitchen sink with these Cornish hens.
They were using them for boxing gloves.
It was priceless.
Did you get pictures?
I did, but I can't find them now 20 years later. But it was priceless, and they both remember it and joke about it. But my son went on to really love to cook, and he's been at many restaurants as either a sous chef or as a server, and tried to get into culinary school. He was accepted, but with the economy, he couldn't get that. So it was a disappointment, but he loves cooking.
Oh,
and,
great story.
My question is, can you give any advice with working with gluten-free flours? because they are so expensive, I've lost the interest in experimenting.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you have a gluten intolerance? Do you have a choice?
Yes.
So I don't have advice in terms of finding them less expensive, unfortunately. They just are very expensive because it's such a high-intensity process and a high-quality product. What I do suggest, of course, is trying to find whole grain gluten-free flour, as opposed to, for example, white rice flour, which is probably the least expensive but also has no nutrient value. So try and find, you know, brown rice flour or quinoa flour, nut meals sometimes, although they can be expensive too, but you can make your own if you have a food processor. So that's one approach you can take to compensate a little bit for that. I don't have great advice for finding anything cheaper, but certainly using gluten-free flours, you can find some really great products out there now and some great mixes that are really relatively easy to substitute for, you know, regular traditional flours.
Yeah, I would agree. There's more out there now than there. In just this past year, I've seen a whole lot more ever before. So, Margie, thank you so much for calling. Jenny Breen, our guest today, she's been cooking and baking professionally in the Twin Cities for more than 20 years, and this wonderful cookbook she has, it's called Cooking Up the Good Life, Creative Recipes for the Family Table. We've tried some of them already. Judith has tried some of them already. the royal we. And they're absolutely wonderful. Judith with me here in the studio now. And of course, we're in our fall membership drive here to raise money, the money we need for the programs that you enjoy, programs like this one. And that's kind of how WPR works. The people who use it help to pay for it. So go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now to support the programs that you count on.
And I'm sure a lot of you have been riveted, glued to the radio, listening to Jenny Breen. It was a really fun visit with her. We're so glad that she could join us. But now it's time to snap out of that food-induced daze and get to the phone or get to your computer. We are still looking for 23 more pledges in the next 10 minutes. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's been a lot of fun talking with Jenny Breen about cooking, and I tell you, I really enjoy it. I hope we can have her with us again on another show. Now's a good time for you to take, though, a few minutes, 3 minutes maybe, to help support this program and many programs to come. You can make it all possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you. Then make your pledge. Call at 888-202-2552, or better yet, go online to WPR.org and make your pledge.
During this program today, you can get Cooking Up the Good Life by Jenny Breen when you make a contribution of $120 or more. Your donation supports the programs you love, and you can also get a nice thank you gift with your pledge of $120 or more, but only if you pledge now. That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's really interesting. We've been talking about some of the recipes, honey horseradish sauce, sweet almond curry sauce. There was one I saw in there, mushroom stroganoff over buckwheat noodles.
I saw that too. Doesn't that sound great?
Man,
talk about comfort.
Wild mushroom stroganoff.
Well,
over
you can make that for
noodles.
Me, Larry, since I made two things for you.
I got to find me some wild mushrooms.
All right. Well, get out there.
And, you know, you can you can cook that up, too, if you want to. If you make a contribution of $120 today during the program, you can get a copy of Cooking Up the Good Life. Your donated donation supports the programs that you love. You can also get a nice thank you gift with that book with your pledge of $120 or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You might wonder what your pledge pays for. Well, we have toll-free numbers, so you can call in with your questions and comments to talk with our guests. And we rely on newspapers, magazine subscriptions, internet service, so that we can research the topics of the day and find great authors out there like Jenny Breen. All of these things and so many more have costs associated with them. So your pledge at WPR.org or 888- 888-202-2552 helps pay for them.
I especially like the talk shows. Just having a host and a guest isn't good enough for me. I really like the interaction, and I have called in, but very rarely. I just enjoy hearing other people call in and share information. It's a wonderful source of news for me. I'm Barbara Gilmore from Grafton, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for all my news about our world.
Pledge now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 with your pledge. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson. We're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. And maybe it's $50 or maybe it's $120. We'll send you that book. Or $500. Whatever the amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And the time's getting short.
You know, Larry, not many radio stations have the mission to inform, inspire, and engage their listeners, but we do, and we entertain you, too. These values are at the core of Wisconsin Public Radio. WPR is a place to discuss and debate the issues, a place to examine the past and imagine the future.
It's not something we do for you. It's something you do for yourself and for your community, because listener support is what makes all of this possible. Please contribute now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, it's really true that we live in a generous society. We're quick to help a neighbor in need. We chip in for good causes. And we certainly spare no expense when we see a Girl Scout approaching with the cookie order.
No, unfortunately, too many of them get by me or come to me. We know you consider Wisconsin Public Radio a worthwhile cause, like those Girl Scout cookies, maybe even better than those cookies, because you listen. So we know you like it. You know it's worthwhile. Have you given to WPR yet? If you haven't, make today the day. Become our next new member. You can pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think we're the Girl Scout cookies for the ears, Larry?
I like that.
We're the Girl Scout cookies of your ears. Radio is the perfect companion because it complements everything else you're doing. If you want to sit on the couch and just listen, you can.
But now I'm thinking about Girl Scout cookies.
No.
We got to get off that.
Yeah.
You, unlike television or reading, you can drive while listening to the radio and get ready for work, clean the house, go for a run, make a contribution, whatever.
Radio is great. It doesn't drain your energy. It adds to it and enriches everything else you're doing. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported radio. That's you, the listener. Your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 help keeps it all going.
Yeah, 20 more contributions to go to reach our goal. Is listening to WPR worth $4 a day to you? If it is, you could become a member of 9XM Leadership Circle. 9XM members are leaders who have contributed $1,200 or more to support Wisconsin Public Radio programs. $1,200 works out to less than $4 a day. If you find that you've been getting more value from WPR in the last year, consider making that gift right. I'm a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. I'll show you the secret handshake to get you into the meetings. That's at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I hear there are cookies at those meetings, too. Remember, you can get Cooking Up the Good Life by Jenny Breen. We just spent a long time listening to Larry and Jenny talk about all those great recipes and all the great seasonal cooking to do and how to get kids involved. I love that aspect of the book. That book is yours for your pledge of $120 or more.
And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is just it's a great thing to do with 2 minutes of your time. You just give your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay. And whether you call or pledge online, we keep your personal information safe. We don't share it with any other organization.
Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Down to 19, we need to have you make your voice heard. Your voice is very important now when you call in with your contribution. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Just a couple of minutes to go.
Yes, and we're still looking for 18 more pledges in the next 3 minutes or so. Help us make our goal right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And ask for Cooking Up the Good Life with your pledge of $120 or more. Pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, down to 17 to go.
17 to go. And Karen from Madison says, my fiance and I spend a lot of time cooking and trying to come up with interesting, healthy, and easy recipes. This is an opportunity to help public radio and our cuisine. I think that means that she's picking up on the Cooking Up the Good Life book. You can too, $120 or more.
Join Karen. Call in now with your contribution at 888-202-2552. Or donate online. That's even a better deal at WPR.org. That's WPR.org. Thanks to everyone who's contributed. If you haven't contributed yet, do it right now. And thanks for listening.